There is a famous statement of the Talmud Yerushalmi where we're told, Hamaskel b'mitzvah, omrim lo gemar. Whoever begins the process of fulfilling a mitzvah is the one who should complete it as well. And in truth, Rashi writes in Parshas Ekev that this really has a source in Chumash itself. Rashi says, commenting on the pasuk there, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, every mitzvah that I have commanded you to do, tishmerun la'asos, you should be careful and make sure that you actually fulfill it and do it the right way. Rashi comments there, imischalta b'mitzvah, kol ha-mitzvah means the entirety of the mitzvah. It's a play on the words. It means, if you have started the performance of a mitzvah, then Rashi says, you have an obligation, ligmar osa, to finish it as well. She'ein ha-mitzvah nikres, ela al-shem gomra, because the one who gets the credit for performing a mitzvah is the one who completes a mitzvah. And the Gemara says that we learn this not only from the source that Rashi gives, and not only from the Talmud Yerushalmi that has this passage, but the Gemara says in Maseches Sota Daf Yud Gimel that we learn this from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the story of Moshe Rabbeinu? Tana Rabbanan. Bo re'e kama chavivas mitzvahs on Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how much Moshe Rabbeinu loved and enjoyed the performance of mitzvahs. Shekol Yisrael kula nisasku v'biza. All of the Jewish people at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim were busy going and taking all of the riches from the Mitzrayim, from the Egyptians. V'hu nisasik b'mitzvah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was busy performing a mitzvah. What was the mitzvah he was doing? As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu went and fulfilled the promise of the Jewish people to take the bones of Yosef HaTzadik and return them back to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And on this, the Gemara comments, we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as a chacham lev yikach mitzvos. When everyone else is busy trying to make money, Moshe Rabbeinu is busy trying to accumulate schar and trying to get mitzvos. And therefore, he's referred to as a chacham lev. Somebody who really has a great intellect will make sure to be busy with mitzvah opportunities. And then, says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he takes the Aron of Yosef and all the bones and he takes it out of Mitzrayim. V'chalos and shanam shah Yisrael b'midbar, all the years that the Jewish people were traveling throughout the desert, ha-yushtei aronos halalu. There were two aronos next to each other. One was the Aron with the body of Yosef HaTzadik, and right next to it was obviously the Aron with the luchos that traveled right next to the other. And the Gemara says, v'haya ofrim v'shamim omrim. People used to say, this looks very strange. Why is there a dead body? Why is there a coffin right next to the Mishkan? That seems weird. And the Gemara says, Amru kiyem zeh mashakasa bazeh. The Gemara says that they responded, anyone who had such a strange question, they responded to them and said, this person represents and embodies everything that the Torah stands for. And therefore, it's not strange, it's not unusual that the bones of Yosef HaTzadik are right next to the Aron that houses the Luchos and the Aron HaBris, because that is really what the life of Moshe, of Yosef HaTzadik was all about. Now, says the Gemara, Ksiv Vayikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef Imo. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took the bones out of Mitzrayim. Uksiv, and another pasuk says, Ves Atzmos Yosef Asher Helu B'nei Yisrael. It says the Jewish people were the ones responsible for taking the body of Yosef back to Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, which one is it? Is Moshe Rabbeinu the one given the credit, or are the Jewish people as a whole given the credit? Answers the Gemara, Kala Osa Davar Velo Gemara Uba Achar V'Gamro. If somebody begins a process and he does not have the opportunity to finish that process of a mitzvah, Mala Lava Kasev Al Shagamro Kilu Aso, the one who finished off the mitzvah and completed it is the one who gets the credit. And therefore, says the Gemara, since Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was not allowed entry into Eretz Yisrael, he was not able to complete the mitzvah of burying Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, it goes down in history as the great deed of the Jewish people, even though they only did the last part, but still they get the credit. Why do I mention this? I mention it because the Mesilas Yesharim is bothered. Where does this whole concept come from? If you start a mitzvah, you have to complete it? Why? Why don't you say, whatever involvement I have in a mitzvah is what I do, and whatever I leave over to other people is for them to do? Why do we have such an insistence that people should be involved in a mitzvah from beginning to end? Where does this concept come from? Writes the Mesilas Yesharim that really, this has a source in this week's Parsha. As we know in the Parsha, we're told, Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram Avinu was told to do a mitzvah. He gets up early in the morning to perform that mitzvah. And from here, the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, we learn the concept of Zrizim Magdim in the mitzvahs, that a person should perform a mitzvah with enthusiasm, with excitement, with alacrity. You should show how happy you are to do the mitzvah that the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you to do, and do just like Avraham Avinu did. Vayashkem Avraham Avoker, he gets up early in the morning to go and perform the mitzvah that he is supposed to do, even though it was difficult for him to do it, but he did it with an excitement. And says the Mesilas Yesharim, Kimo shechayavin arnu lezareis kodem asiyas hamitzvah, the same way we learn from Avraham Avinu, that we have to make sure to do the mitzvah with an excitement and get up early in the morning to do it as early as possible and as quickly as possible. So too writes the Mesilas Yesharim, yesh lezareis gamkein achar asiyas haschalas maisa hamitzvah. Part of that excitement should also be that I don't hand off the mitzvah to someone else. If I'm really excited about doing it, I'll do it myself. If I really don't care so much about doing it, I'll just start the process and I'll hand it off to someone else. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, this is just an extension of that age-old halacha from Avraham Avinu. The same way Rizim Makdim on the mitzvahs means you get up early in the morning, you do a bris milah right away in the morning, you do all the mitzvahs as early as you can, we shake lulav early in the morning. So too, writes the Mesilas Yesharim, we have this idea that we are supposed to, as much as possible, start a mitzvah and be the ones to complete the mitzvah as well, to show how excited and how happy and honored we are to be involved in the mitzvah opportunity. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Chanukah, what happens if you have a chazan shehischil lahadlik neros Chanukah? Let's say you have a chiyuv on Chanukah, and we know that on Chanukah, or every day, you have somebody who is in Shloshim, or someone who's in Yud Beis Chodesh, so they're going to daven Mincha for the Yamid, and they're going to daven Meirah for the Yamid. And now, we know that on Chanukah, we light Neros Chanukah in between davening Mincha and davening Meirah. So you have the Chazan is usually the one, after he finishes davening Mincha, he goes up to the Bima, and he's the one to light the candles, then he goes back and he davens Meirah. Now what happens, right to Shulchan Aruch Eve, everybody's in a rush, everyone has somewhere to go, and the Chazan now is trying to light the candles, doesn't always go right away, doesn't always happen so quickly, so he's trying and he's putting the candle, the shamish, to the candle that has to be lit, and it's just not going, so he has to take a candle out, put a new one in, writes the Shulchan Aruch, we don't want everyone to be waiting for Meiriv, so get someone else to go in his place, and finish up the lighting of the menorah, even though the Chazan is the one who started. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishum Tircha de Tzibur, we don't want people to be waiting around and have to extend the time that we're going to start Meirah for, we may as well send someone else up to finish up. However, writes the Mishnah Berurah, if no one's in a rush, and no one really has anywhere to go, says the Mishnah Berurah, the real proper thing is, whoever started the mitzvah should be the one to complete it, because we generally try our best not to hand off mitzvahs to other people. And so too the Mechaber writes, if you have somebody who is a very talented individual who also serves on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as the Chazan, also serves as the Baal Tokeya. I remember when I was growing up, that's the way we used to have it. We had a Baal Tokeya who was also the Chazan, and he did both of them very well. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we're concerned if he's going to blow shofar in the middle of his Chazaras Hashatz, he's going to get so confused, he's not going to remember where he's up to. Malchus Achrona Shofros, forget it, get a different Baal Tokeya. However, he writes, for the tkios that he does that are not in the context of Chazaras Hashatz, he may as well be the one to do the mitzvah, because amaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor. If you're the one who started it, he may as well continue. And therefore, he says, that is the reason why we would have one person do it lechatchila. If extenuating circumstances call for such, then obviously we can hand it over, but otherwise we would assume that it's more proper for one person to do it by himself. However, the problem with all this is, the Gemara in Maseches Psachim Daf Samach Dalet tells us about what used to happen during the Hakravas Karban Pesach. As we know, just think, imagine to yourself how many millions of people used to converge onto Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. And as we know, everybody's Karban Pesach had to be offered in a very limited amount of time. You started Bein HaArbayim in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, and it had to be done within a very quick amount of time. Well, says the Gemara, how are we going to efficiently run a system in the Beis HaMikdash in which we can have many, many Karbanos Pesach being offered all in one very short span of time, and yet we're going to get it all done before this month is over? How's that possible? Well, says the Gemara, they came up with a system. They had, let's say, the person who was offering the Karban would stand in one place. He would hand it to one Kohen to do the Shechita. That Kohen, instead of being the one to carry the animal to the Mizbeach and do the rest of the job, he would hand it off to someone else, who handed it off to someone else, handed it off to someone else. They had a assembly line, and everybody stood in one long row, and basically everybody handed it over till the person who was standing right next to the Mizbeach is the one who offered it onto the Mizbeach, and then they would pass everything back. That's the way it was done very efficiently. Well, says the Gemara, they did that because Barov Am Hadras Melech. It was a beautiful thing. Not only was it efficient, but also it was a nice way to get more and more people involved. Why should one person be the one to not only shech the carbon and offer it onto the mizbeach and sprinkle the blood? You may as well have many, many people participate in the mitzvah, and there's no reason that it should be limited to one person. And therefore, says the Gemara, this is why we chose to work with this system, not only because it's more efficient, and the Beis HaMikdash was a big balagan on Erev Pesach, but also because we want to give opportunity to as many people as possible. And based on that Gemara, Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna and the Binyan Shlomo asked, how does that Gemara jive with the age-old principle of Hamaskel b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar? If I'm the one who's given the opportunity to do the mitzvah, and I'm given the carbon and I do the shechita, really it should be my obligation to take that carbon and finish off the job. Bring it to the mizbeach, be the one to offer it, sprinkle the blood, and do everything that needs to be done. Why am I handing it off to other people because of Barov HaMhadras Melech? Shouldn't we say that one person should do the job from beginning to end, and he should not be the one to hand it off to others? And this is a major issue that he deals with, and he doesn't really have a clear answer as to where we say the principle would apply and where perhaps it would not. One question that comes up all the time that is very nogea halacha lemaisa is when we talk about shiduchim. So as we know, one who makes a shidduch, it's a good question why a shadchan, or even if you're not a professional shadchan, but if you happen to suggest a shidduch for somebody and it ends up working out, why is it that I have to pay that person? Tosis asked the question, I didn't ask for that service. Imagine, somebody comes into my backyard and decides he's going to start planting all kinds of trees. And now, after a few months, the trees grow very nicely and I have apples. Well, the person comes and gives me a bill, and I say back to them, I never asked you to plant these trees. Why should I pay you for it? You decided to come into my backyard. You decided to plant the trees. Why is it my problem? Just because you were looking for business? I don't have to pay for that. So that's the question Tosis asks. The same should be when somebody comes and offers me a shidduch, offers me something, either a shidduch in business, somebody hears that I have some kind of talent and says, you know, I'd like you to go do work for this company. I knew nothing about that company. Why should I have to pay them? Even though they got me a good job, but I didn't ask them for that service. That should be the same as somebody who just does some kind of work on my property without my asking them to do it. So why should I have to pay? So Tosis gives two answers to explain why you really have to pay, and he says, al pi din, you have an absolute obligation to pay for that service. One reason that Tosa says is because it's clear that had I known that you had the shidduch that I was looking for, I obviously would have hired you. I would have paid you all the money in the world. Now you have to ask someone who's married 20, 30 years, would they really have done it in retrospect or not? It's a good question, but generally Tosa says when a couple gets married, they're both very happy, they both want to be involved, and therefore we say, since I was very excited about the job that you did for me, and had I known in advance that that was what you were going to suggest, I would have paid you. Therefore, we assume that you really have an obligation to pay. And I was told, I read it, I think, in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, that he said, as we know, the Torah says, on Sukkot, you have to pay lukachtem lachem, the lulav and esrog has to belong to you. So he said, how do I know that the money I have really belongs to me? Maybe I stole money from someone. I don't know. The Chafetz Chaim stole money. I'm not sure what he was afraid of. But the Chafetz Chaim said, maybe the money that I have in my bank account wasn't rightfully deserving to me. Maybe somebody paid me for a job that I didn't do so well. Said the Chafetz Chaim, there's one amount of money that I know is deserving to me 100%. And that's what he used to save to buy his dalad minim every year. And that was the money that he got paid for shadchanus. Because he said that is something that you have an obligation to pay, because somebody really did a good thing for you, and it's as if you have hired them as a person who works for you, and therefore you have an obligation to pay them the same way you would have to pay any other worker, even if you didn't hire this person to make the shidduch, but since they made a good shidduch, you have to pay. So the question often comes up. Somebody suggests a shidduch, the couple goes out. Then a month or two into the dating process, something goes wrong, or many things go wrong, and there are complications, and they don't go back to the shadchan to work it out. They have some other person, a friend works it out, or somebody else gets it to the finish line. So who are they supposed to pay? This is a major shaila in Choshen Mishpat. The Pischei Tshuva talks about it. Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas where he says, it's not really clear exactly who you're supposed to pay in such a case. Do we give the credit to the person that started the process? Because had I not introduced person A to person B, they never would have had this relationship with each other, and therefore I should get all the credit. Or do you say no? We generally say that whoever finishes the job is the one who gets the credit. As we said, the Gemara says in Masechah Sota that the one who is the completer of a mitzvah, the mitzvah goes down in their name, just like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people, as we said, and therefore maybe we should say the same applies here, that the money that is deserving to the person who made the shidduch maybe should go to the second party, because they were the one who completed the mitzvah, and it doesn't go to the first. That is a very important issue that plays into this discussion as well. Should it ever come up, we'll have to discuss what the practical halacha is, but it's a very important question that is asked every so often.